take a chapter each week, depending on the size of that. Sometimes we have to break the chapters down into a couple different weeks, but this week we'll be looking at Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. And in this chapter, we're going to see God speak through his prophet, Isaiah, about the coming humiliation of the country of Babylon. So remember, in Isaiah's time, the nation of Judah still standing, and they are not in heart worshiping God, but they do have an outward religious character about them. And God, in the book of Isaiah, speaks much to them about the fact that because they are not turning to him with all their heart, they're worshiping him with their lips, but not from their heart. That because of that, God will bring a discipline or a punishment upon them in the form of the nation of Babylon. And that was kind of the earlier part of Isaiah. We learned a lot about that. And Babylon was an ascending empire at that time. And so God was going to use them in that way. And then we've heard much in Isaiah as well about the fact that eventually God would punish Babylon through the Medes and the Persian. And of course, all of that is historical fact that has happened. But Isaiah, written about 700 years or so before Christ, was prophesying all of that. So we're in the section now where God is beginning to speak much about how his intention for the nation of Israel, his people, is not just to punish them and then leave them, but eventually to bless them. That yes, being a part of God's family, being one of God's children, means that he does discipline his own, but that through that, he wants to bring them to a place of restoration. And part of that is that he's going to punish Babylon for her sins as well. That's really what Isaiah 47 is all about. And if I could title the chapter, I would title it this: In Usefulness, Don't Forget Humility. In usefulness, don't forget humility. In other words, when God uses us, we cannot forget that we need to stay humble in that. Amen. Isaiah 47, let's read a couple of verses through. We'll pray and we'll get right into the message. Isaiah 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. In usefulness, don't forget humility. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Lord, I thank you for, again, another opportunity to preach your word from this pulpit, to open up your word and declare, thus saith the Lord, to your people. Lord, what a wonderful privilege, what an honor. Lord, would you enable me now this morning? Please, I need you. There is no way I can preach your word properly without you enabling me and doing it through me. If I'm left to my own devices, and if any of me is involved, that will be the area where it is not a blessing, but a curse. And so, Lord, I ask that you would not let me be the one preaching, but, Lord, that you would, through me, preach your word to your people. And I don't know how you can do that, but I know you can. I know you are capable of blessing your people as I preach your word to them. So please do that. Lord, then would you give all of us ears to hear? Would you even help us to learn the lesson that I believe you've given to me this morning, that as you use us, we need to keep in mind that we also need to be humble and remember humility even in usefulness. Help us with that, I pray. Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice this morning that does not have their sins forgiven, that is not on their way to heaven, Lord, would you open their eyes to the truth of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection for their forgiveness of sins. Would you open their eyes to that, grant them faith and repentance to believe the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned to you kind of in the introduction, Babylon was a great nation at this time. They were kind of on the ascent in this time, and they would be used by God to bring judgment to Judah, but not just Judah, the nations surrounding Judah. And God would
used them, though they were not a perfect nation and they were not a godly nation. They were actually a heathen and a pagan nation, but God was going to use them nonetheless. And in order for God to use them, God had to exalt them, to bring them to a place where they were an empire, where they ruled much of the then-known world, so that God could use them to bring his people under discipline. God had to exalt them to do that. But in their exaltation, they did not recognize God. They failed to recognize that it was God that had given them that power, and instead they were lifted up in pride. We see that from the verses that we read. Verses 1 through 5 are what we read kind of to begin, and I would title those verses The Humiliation of Babylon. Let me show you just a couple of highlights of them, and we'll go on through the chapter, and then I'll make application to us this morning. Verses 1 through 5 are The Humiliation of Babylon. God says to them through his prophet, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon." So he's talking to the nation as if it were a person. God often does that in the prophets. And he refers to Babylon as a virgin daughter. And here, that may not make a whole lot of sense to us, but in that culture, a king would often have many sons and daughters, and the daughters of the king that were virgins, they had not been given to a man in marriage, they were arrayed very beautifully, they wore the finest clothes, and they were princesses, obviously, and everywhere they went, people doted on them, they were honored, they were dignified. We see that a little bit in our culture today if you pay attention at all to the royal family, but it's not nearly what it used to be. But we see a little bit of that. The royal family in the United Kingdom is supposed to be somewhat dignified and separated and all of that. And they've lost some of that, but they still have it to some extent. Well, that was really the case here. And that's how God refers to Babylon, that she is a virgin daughter. She's supposed to live delicately and be arrayed in fine clothing and be doted upon and be a princess. But notice what he says. He says, "Come and sit in the dust." And he says, "Sit on the ground." And the reason why is there is no throne. Her throne has been taken away. And if she's going to sit, she'll have to sit on the ground. And by the way, that was, and to some extent still is, that was a sign of humility. That was a sign of you're a slave, basically. Sit on the ground, there is no throne. Thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. And then verse 2, what would her labor be? Take the millstones and grind meal. She would now be used similar to how a donkey would be used. She would just be a slave. And sometimes in that culture, slaves were used like cattle, where they might spin around the mill that would grind the wheat for the society. And that's what she's going to do. And then notice, instead of being arrayed like a virgin daughter, what does it say? Uncover thy locks. That would be her hair. Rather than have it beautifully covered, she's to uncover it. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. That was a sign of humility. And by the way, it still is today. Let me take just a moment and preach that for a moment. It says here in verse number 3, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. When you read in the Bible, here's what you find. Listen, this is important. What you find is God says that from your knee and upward to your loins is nakedness. And it was a shame for someone to uncover their thigh. You realize that that hasn't changed? God still looks at your thigh as your nakedness. Please keep your thighs covered, men and ladies. I know our culture has lost that, but here's one of the things. You watch this. Next time you go out in public somewhere, if you get an opportunity, watch women who dress like the average woman does today, where she's uncovered much of her body, and watch just how she goes through. And then if you ever get the chance where there's a woman who's dressed like a lady, and she's covered, and she's feminine, and watch immediately the difference in how she's treated. You know why that is? It's because by dressing properly, feminine, covered, you know what she's doing? She's respecting herself. And when we uncover ourselves, especially the nakedness that God calls, which would be from the knees and upward to the loins. And for ladies, obviously, there's more than that. But when we uncover ourselves, here's what we are doing without even realizing it. We're humiliating ourselves. Listen, God wants us to cover our nakedness. Amen and amen. And by the way, I don't care if that makes you mad. I'm going to preach it till the day I die. Because no one else will tell you the truth. Pastors are afraid to touch those subjects today. But by God's grace, this pastor won't be afraid to tell you, cover your nakedness. It is a shame. And as God's people, we should cover ourselves. Amen and amen. But she was going to be uncovered and she would be humiliated. Look then what it says in verse number 4. It's, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 5, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness. She would no longer have light. She would again dwell like a slave, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. She was humiliated. Now in verses 6 and 7, the reason for the humiliation is given. Look with me, if you would, at verses 6 and 7. Here's why. I was wroth with my people, says God. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke, and thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Why did God humble Babylon? Well, she was exalted, wasn't she? And in her exaltation, she forgot God. How did she forget God? Well, she was used to bring discipline to Judah, wasn't she? That's what it says there. And in doing so, how did she do that? Without mercy. Did you catch that? Without mercy. You know, when God gives you a position of power, a position of authority, a position to do something, and maybe even you have to be harsh, and maybe you're called on to bring discipline of whatever that might be in a certain situation, you know that God wants you to give the discipline, but to remember mercy. You remember Micah 6 and verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. God wants us to love mercy. And Babylon didn't, and she was exalted, and she thought, oh, I'll never be humbled. But in verses 8 through 11, we see that she was. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, that's what she said. Neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Listen, she had denial in the coming humiliation. Oh, I'll never be humbled. I'm exalted. I've got this position of power and authority, and I'll never be humbled. Oh, you remember what God's word says? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, help me out, lest he fall. Boy, don't we need to remember that? Has God exalted us? Has God used us? Oh, be careful, friends. Because if we are lifted up in pride, God is able to humble us. And then in verses 12 through 15, we see that her trust was in wickedness to prevent her humiliation. Verse 12, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. And obviously that won't happen, right? Verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Babylon was trusting in wickedness to prevent her humiliation, and God said, it won't work. You will be humbled. Now, there is a major lesson here in this passage for you and for me. God can and will use you. Isn't that what we heard in that song? By the way, wasn't that a good song? Wasn't that a blessing? The words behind that song, I loved that. God wants to use you. And if you put yourself in his hands, he will use you. But when he uses you, don't allow pride to sneak in. Don't allow pride to take over, because if you do, God will then also humble you. Keeping your place in Isaiah 47, turn with me to Isaiah 14. That's what happened to Satan. Isaiah 14, look with me if you would at verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. In Isaiah 14, Satan is called Lucifer. And in Isaiah 14 and verse number 12, notice what the word of God says here. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And here's what Lucifer did. Here's Satan after his creation. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's how Satan fell. He got lifted up in pride. Did God use him? Oh, yes. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He was used of God in heaven to proclaim the greatness of God. And yet, when he got lifted up in pride, God humbled him. God will do the same to us. Now, let me apply this in four different ways. First of all, nationally, as a nation, we need to remember this. God in Isaiah 47 is speaking to the nation of Babylon. There is an absolute correlation between the United States of America and Babylon in this regard, that God used Babylon to do great things. But because Babylon forgot God and did not turn to God, God had to humble them. And nationally, we need to watch for that same thing. Listen, God has blessed our great nation and has used us in wonderful ways. Isn't it a blessing to be an American? Isn't it a blessing to be a part of this nation? Why is it that we would be allowed to have that privilege? I don't know, but God has been good to us. I love about our church that we have many people from many different places. And not all of the people here were born in this area. In fact, let's just ask this question. How many of you were at least raised the majority of your life, whether or not you were born here, you were raised the majority of your life within this county, Dane County? Raise your hand. I was. There's a few of us. That's not much of our church. You can put your hands down. Most of our church was raised elsewhere. How many of you originally were from another country? In other words, whether or not you have citizenship now doesn't matter, but you're originally from another country. Raise your hand. Oh boy, that's a blessing. That's a lot of people. What a blessing. I love that about our church, that we have a good mix. And I'm so thankful, by the way, that we live in a country where we have welcomed others. And obviously, there ought to be limits. And obviously, we need to make sure that we know who's coming. But what a blessing that we welcome people in. But listen, God has used our great nation, and what a blessing to be called an American, whether you were born here or not. When I think about the two world wars in the previous century, and how really what made the difference by God's grace was when the American government got behind the war effort in both World War I and World War II. And especially World War II, I know more about that war than probably any other, just the difference that we made as a nation. Boy, wasn't that a blessing? That's a blessing from the Lord that God used us. And then not only to win the Second World War, but to basically rebuild Europe. And to the people that we had conquered, to not hold it against them and make them our slaves, but to bless them and to invest our money to rebuild those nations and make them great again and teach them how to have a government where the people elect and et cetera, et cetera. And all the things that happened post-World War II, God has used our nation. What a blessing. We have several Filipino families in our church. And just to think about what I know and what I hear and then talking to our Filipino families, the way that God used the United States of America in the Philippines and to bless that wonderful nation and those beautiful people. What a blessing from the Lord. But listen, we came from a humble beginning as a nation. When you think about the time of the Revolutionary War and the fact that our just a few people and those 13 colonies made a declaration of independence with really not a hope in the world that they could gain independence from Great Britain, except God intervened and allowed that our nation would be raised up. We are currently in a place, however, where as a nation, our greatest threat is not financial. And finances of our nation are a problem, aren't they? We've got to do something about the national debt or we will go under. That can't go on forever. Eventually, that will undermine us. But listen, our greatest threat is not financial. Our greatest threat is not military. Our greatest threat is not political. It's not one side or the other. Our greatest threat is not even unsecured borders and letting people in without vetting them. That's not the greatest threat. Our greatest threat as a nation is one word, pride. Pride is our great threat. It was in Babylon. And it is for us as God used us, yes, but in usefulness, don't forget humility. And some would say, and we've heard it said recently, that we are ushering in the golden age of America. Have you heard words similar to that? I have. Perhaps that's so. But what will truly make America great is if she would humble herself, confess her sins, and recognize that God is the one who exalts or humbles nations at His pleasure. That's what we need as a nation more than anything else. In our usefulness, we need to remember humility. Remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. Remember that he was the king, basically, of Babylon, and God was working in Nebuchadnezzar's life, and he looked out one day and said, "This is great Babylon that I have built." And that very day, God humbled him, and he basically lost his mind and started acting like an ox. And for 7 years, he was kept basically hidden away because he had lost his mind and he was acting like an animal until God restored his mind to him. And he woke up one day and looked around and said, "God has humbled me." And here's what he said afterward, Daniel 4:37. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And that's what we as a nation need to do. We need to wake up and recognize that it is God who humbles nations, God who raises them up. And as God used us, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. But let us remember God. Let us turn from our sin. Let us turn from our sin. I heard a statistic not long ago that 60%, I believe, of pastors struggle with pornography. We as a nation need to turn from our sin. If pastors, more than half of pastors, are struggling with pornography, what about the average church member? And we go on and on about the billion-dollar industry that pornography is. Billions of dollars. And most of it is based right here in the United States of America. Much of it is consumed by Christians. And not all of it is just what we would consider normal pornography, if there is such a thing. Many of it is deviant, including children and other forms of absolute abomination and wickedness. And some of it, perhaps much of it, is consumed by Christians. We as a nation need to humble ourselves. And yet, listen, It's an interesting thing that I find out, and I'm as guilty as anybody, so I'm preaching a little bit at the choir here. But when we call for a prayer meeting and ask people, let's pray confessing our sins. So little confession of sin goes on. I mean, so little. So little. We need to repent. We need to turn in our usefulness. We need to remember humility. Secondly, I would say this, the application is corporately. What I mean by corporately is as a church. We're not a corporation, but we are a body. That's what corporately means, a body. And we are a body of believers. And corporately, we need to apply this. Listen, God uses churches at different times and in different ways. Some churches get big and they are used by God. The church at Jerusalem was that way. Thousands of people were saved in Jerusalem a couple different times in one day. And that church grew, and it grew large. We don't have numbers of how many were in attendance at an average meeting, but it was a very large church. And by the way, it was very influential and useful. Some are like Jerusalem. Some are like Antioch. Antioch, from what we can tell in Acts, was not as big of a church as Jerusalem, but it was every bit, if not more, impactful in the world as it sent out Paul and Barnabas, and later Paul and Silas. And Barnabas took John Mark with him, and they had different missionary teams. And some churches are like Antioch, where they're not as large, but they are used by God in a great way. Now listen, God has used our church in many wonderful ways. God has been good to us. Our beginnings were very humble. Recently, Abigail and I were looking through the minutes of the church. We were looking for a specific thing, trying to figure out when something had been decided and all of that. And so we pulled out the books from a long time ago in our business meetings, and it was a lot of fun to read through those different minutes. Some of them have the financial statements, Brother Adrian, from those early days, and they're laughable. God has blessed our church, and here we are all these years later, and we have several missionaries sent out from our church, and pastors who are pastoring in other places that were sent out from here, and ministries throughout Madison, and God has blessed our church, and we're thankful for that, but we need to remember humility. We do not want to be like the church at Ephesus. Turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation 2, quickly we want to turn over there. Revelation chapter 2. Verse number 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. We're in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Boy, they were used by God, weren't they? Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God said, if you don't repent and turn and do the first works, I will take you out from being a church. Recently, I saw a video, and I've told you about it a couple of months ago, a video about one of the very first mega churches in the United States of America, Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. Dallas Billington was the pastor there. And in its heyday, it was the largest church in North America. They had radio station, they had a big ministry of putting out music and preaching tapes, and they had a 4,000-seat auditorium in Akron, Ohio. And just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building. But you know, that church just, I believe it was just this last year in the spring, that building was demolished. And the church does not exist anymore. It does not exist. And in the 80s, it was thriving and growing, thousands of members. I saw a picture from, I think it was probably the 50s or 60s, of one of those pictures where they're, I don't know if they're in a helicopter or a plane or what, but you kind of see it from an aerial photo, and the parking lot is huge and just filled all around this big building. The megachurch does not exist today. A church that was used a church that was thriving. And today they're nowhere to be found. And that's just one. We could go on and on and on about influential churches that had Bible colleges and sent out preachers and missionaries, and now they do not even exist. I don't know why that happens, but I do know this. If we do not humble ourselves before the Lord and in our usefulness remember humility, we could be like Babylon. We have to watch for that. Let's humble ourselves as a church and remember God. Thirdly, the third application is family. We've seen nationally, we've seen corporately, and now family. Has God blessed your family? Maybe he's blessed you with a large family. Maybe he's blessed you with lots of kids or lots of siblings or grandkids or however. Has God blessed your family? Has he blessed your family physically? Has he blessed your family spiritually? Is your family used by God? Can you look and see your children, your grandchildren, or maybe siblings or whatever, and you see that God is blessed and there's usefulness and there's people who love the Lord and are trying to serve the Lord in your family? Do you perhaps even see that others have not been blessed in the same way? Maybe their children aren't following the Lord. Their children aren't serving the Lord. Maybe their siblings want nothing to do with God. Are you looking at others and seeing that they have not been blessed in the same way that you have? Let me say this. It perhaps is because they have not obeyed like you have, or perhaps there are other things and circumstances that you're not aware of. In your usefulness, remember humility. In your usefulness, God's blessed your family. That's wonderful. Be humble about it. Remember that it is God that has given that to you. Don't forget humility. Turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And it says there, except the Lord build the house. And it's not talking about a building with four walls and carpet. It's talking about a family lineage. Okay? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Don't forget humility. Has God blessed your family physically, numerically, spiritually? Remember, that's God that did that. And except he does it, nobody gets to have that blessing. And for some reason, God allowed you to have some usefulness in your family. In that usefulness, remember humility. Don't forget as well, let me share this with you, this is so important. Don't forget that God uses broken families. God doesn't just use the perfect ones, quote unquote. By the way, there are no perfect families. But God uses broken families. Remember Jacob and his 12 sons? Now there is a broken family. There's a family with problems. Favoritism, jealousies and betrayal, interfamily sexual scandals, murder, and yet God used them. Wow. Because God is going to use who he wants to use. Jacob and his sons don't get to stand up in pride and say, yeah, it's because we were really righteous. Hey, if they do that when we get to heaven, they won't. But if they did, we could say, hey, I got the Bible. I know the truth, all right? There was nothing to be proud of about you. And of course, they won't do that. But let me say this as well. I will just give testimony without going into details that God has been good to the Weiss family. And that's in spite of brokenness. But God's been good. And why does God do that? I have no idea. I often think about it. I often thank God for it. God, why? I don't know. I want to say this as well. Brother Josh Kowak is with us. His grandmother's funeral was yesterday, and I was reminded of the Kowak family as a broken family. Many of you don't know the details, and I don't know all the details, but Josh's grandfather was a missionary in South Korea, just like he and his dad are. And they were there from 1970 to 1980. They were members of the Calvary Baptist Church down in Jefferson, and they came back on a furlough, and his grandfather walked out on the family and left. And the family had no contact with him for basically the rest of their life, almost. And here's a missionary wife with four young children, and she's stuck, and her husband just walked out. And now today, the oldest is your former pastor's wife, Mary Weiss, married to my brother Fred, raising a family for the Lord, pastor's wife serving the Lord, loving the Lord, faithful. The next, Tim, is he the director of a Christian school? Is that right? Okay, he's a teacher in a Christian school down in northern Illinois. We'll forgive him the Illinois part, but other than that, he's spiritual, all right? But a great man of God. I love Brother Tim. After that is Dan Kowak. Dan is a missionary in South Korea and his family. And then, of course, there's Brother Nathan, our missionary in South Korea, and he has his children, and those children are serving the Lord, and there's some faithfulness there. Listen, God uses broken families. So if your family's broken, if you're not perfect, all right, it's okay. You're in good company. God still wants to use you. And by the way, you know how he'll use you? If you'll humble yourself before him. If you'll pray, if you'll seek his face, be humble. And God can do great things and will do great things. And then lastly, let me make this application as we close, individually. Individually, we can make this application. Have you been gifted by God to serve? And by the way, we all have. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we have all been gifted. That's a blessing. Do you see that others are not as gifted as you? Maybe you have a gift in a certain area and others just don't have that gift and all of that. Don't get lifted up in pride. Be careful of that. Don't get lifted up in pride. Here's what you need to do. Just do your job. In that usefulness, remember humility. Do the job that God has given you to do. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Lord willing, this will be the last scripture that we look at. Romans chapter 12. Just do the job in front of you. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse number 1. We've all been gifted by God in one way or another, and we all just need to do our job. Romans chapter number 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. I mean, seriously. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And I would encourage you, read the rest of the chapter later on. But here's what we learn from that. We are like a body in this body of believers here. And in the body, every member, every part of the body has a purpose. And you may not appreciate the purpose of a certain part of your body, but God has it there for a reason. And there is a very good chance that if you don't appreciate the function that that body part does, that you just don't fully understand. Because if it were gone, more than likely you would appreciate it then. Some of it is just for beauty. Some of it has no beauty whatsoever, but boy, is there a function there that's important. And you know, the body of Christ is like that. There might be some here, and you are the prominent part of the body. I mean, you're the nose. I don't know, is that a good thing? That's probably not a good illustration. But you know what I'm talking about, right? You're the face. You're the one that everyone sees. And boy, it's important that you be there and you have that function and you do it right or whatever. But listen, there's some other parts of the body, and maybe you're one of those that aren't seen, don't seem important to others, but God has placed you in the body for a reason. And here's what we need to do. Be humble about whatever place we have and just fill the task, the role that God has given us to fill. And I would encourage you to be faithful in that, and in usefulness, remember humility, lest you end up like Babylon. Let's pray.